This past Thursday, I got to go on a field trip with Leah's class, her kindergarten class, and we went to Wildwood Park, and we got a cool nature walk in just before the rain came. And so they couldn't play at the park, and there were tears, but it was still neat to be there with them. And it reminded me of the old saying, don't miss the forest for the trees. Familiar with that saying? No? Yeah? Can I get some nods? Some amens? Okay. Don't miss the forest for the trees, because we went on this nature walk, and they had guides from the metro parks there. They had a guide for each group, and we're going along, and she's just like looking down at the ground, and she's picking up a leaf here or there, or like a little seed, or the smallest thing. She was pointing out these tiny, tiny things that I would have never even noticed, and she was telling us all about them, and I was, you know, ignoring the kids, just kind of listening in, like, oh yeah, that's really interesting. And then, about, you know, two-thirds of the way, three-quarters of the way through the walk, we stopped and moved out into this one area that was, it was a kind of overlook over this prairie that we had been walking around. And it just was a moment where we kind of got our eyes up off the ground and these little tiny intricate things and just looked out over the whole prairie that we were studying and observing for the last half hour or so. And it was just really neat to see how all of these little tiny things came together to create this beautiful scene before us. Don't miss the forest for the trees. All of those little things now made more sense within the bigger picture. It's kind of like scientists who study cells and tiny objects with their microscopes, and they look at the tiniest parts of us, which only ultimately makes sense when you zoom out and look at the whole person that we are. Or sometimes as human beings, we get absorbed in our own lives, our own problems, the things that are right in front of our faces, and we forget that we are small cells within a human community, trees within the forest. Karl Barth famously gave some advice to preachers. He said, a preacher should preach with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other hand. And he was talking about the danger of having a faith that was detached from the world, that was just kind of an escapist thing, where we just, you've heard the phrase, he's so heavenly minded, he's of no earthly good, right? And that's what Barth was talking about. But there's also a danger, not of just not having the newspaper, but of not having the Bible in your other hand as well. And so sometimes we watch the news, we read the newspaper, and we see all of these individual stories and problems and crises that are before us. And we have to go back to the story, to the good news, the overlook that allows us to see how all of the little stories fit together and how we then live, not just in response to each individual story, but as we walk through the greater forest of the world. I think a lot of us have had the newspaper in our hands a lot over this past year. I have, not literally, of course. I don't actually read the newspaper. I pull up news on my phone and read articles and things like that. But a lot of us have been watching the news, reading the news a lot. And there's a lot of just fascinating things going on in our world today, in our country. And we've never had more people telling all of these stories, whether it's in newspapers or on TV or in blogs and little tiny news outlets that are trying to communicate these stories that are going on. And it is interesting. But I think the more I've been engaged with the news and what's going on in the world, I found that my experience of Lent and Holy Week and Easter this year was a bit of a different experience. I found myself, and I don't know if you noticed this, but I found myself in sermons, whether it's on Easter or last week or even this week, talking more about the suffering of the world because it just didn't feel right to just talk about joy that was somehow detached from the hardships that we face individually, that we face as a society, as a human community even. And I want to suggest this morning that the level of hope or joy that we experience from Easter is connected with the level with which we are willing to engage with the reality of our world and even the suffering of our world. Easter is not an escape from reality. It is a window. It is into what reality is destined for. It is the promise that our realities are moving towards God's ultimate resurrection joy, that the destiny of this world that we live in is packed into the human experience of Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection. And so we come to this text in Romans 8 today, another great resurrection Easter text, talking about hope. But there's also this image of the groaning creation. Paul writes, we know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even us Christians who have this hope and joy, we groan inwardly. We groan waiting for adoption. Our adoption, for the redemption of our bodies, for our resurrections. We groan as we wait. And I think we understand what that means. What it means to groan under the realities of this world, whether they're personal, whether they have to do with our health, or whether they have to do with our relationships, whether they're social or political, whether they are environmental. We know what it is to groan under the hardships of this life and under suffering. But Paul implies, and this is the radical moment of this text, Paul implies that this groaning is a creative groaning. He says we are groaning in birth pains or in labor pains until now. And so our waiting, as we wait, it's not passive. Like I was sitting up here just tapping my foot with the kids. It's not passive. It's anticipatory. As Moltmann, we talked last week, he says hope is the anticipation of joy. There's something we are looking forward to. Just like if you have had the experience of actually suffering through childbearing. I have not. I've just watched it up close. And it's not enjoyable, right? But it is purposeful. And so our suffering in this world is pregnant with hope. We believe because Jesus was crucified and raised that the suffering of this world will resolve into life and joy. Now, I'm aware that in this world, pregnancy and the pains of childbirth do not always lead to joy. There are at least some of you in this room who have experienced what we call a perinatal loss of some kind. There are times where pregnancy and childbirth in this world become a part of this groaning of our fallen and suffering world. There are many things in this world that are supposed to point us to God and God's goodness that fail us. Whether it's marriages that are meant to show us the love of Christ and His church but fail, or pregnancies that end in pain, or the church that is meant to point the world to God that falls into corruption and sin. Or even each of us who are image bearers of God, meant to represent God's goodness to the world, who also fall into sin and turn away and reflect something else. But what has not failed to point us to the goodness of God is Jesus Christ. In the pregnant suffering of the cross, God gave birth to resurrection joy. And that is certain. That is the conviction of our hope. Now, there's certainly more that could be said this morning about Romans 8. It's one of the richest texts that we have in the Scriptures. But for now, let's just sit with that image of the groaning creation, our suffering, that in God's time will certainly give birth to new life and to joy. And so as we consider the sufferings of our lives, as we consider the suffering of this world, we consider them within the framework of the gospel. That the sufferings of the world are subsumed or absorbed into Jesus' cross. And while the cross and our sufferings can be painful and are lamentable, they are also pregnant sacraments of love and grace that will unfailingly give birth to resurrection joy. And so, sisters and brothers, take heart. We do groan because this world is broken and painful. But we groan with hope, because even in our sufferings, we participate in God's renewal of all things. Don't miss the forest for the trees. Do not forget that each story of suffering, whether it's authored by our own sin or by natural disaster or by others' violence and corruption, is part of a much larger story authored by God. So as we cling to the good news, the story of Jesus, we know that even when the battle is hard, we are more than conquerors in this battle with Jesus. That we have received new birth into a living hope. That the resurrection, new creation, fulfillment of all of God's goodness and all of God's promises is near and is certain. Let's pray. God, who turns crosses into resurrection, help us to trust that you are taking our sorrows and sufferings and turning them into joy. Give us that kind of faith that we do not walk through the world in fear, but that we can see what you are doing. And even as we groan, even as we lament, even as we weep, we trust that our destiny is joy. Amen.